The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
Catherine Ryan Howard, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm good. You're in our Dublin studio. Nice of you to join us this morning. You're going to talk about your new book, The Nothing Man, and we'll get to that in a minute. How has COVID and lockdown been for you?
Well, I was one of these insufferable people who was, you know, didn't have any kids to worry about, didn't have any like at-risk elderly relatives. I thought at the beginning, you know, this is going to be great crack. I'm going to finally get to read all the books. I'm going to get to watch all the shows. But I did go a little bit stir crazy. So in the first week of phase one reopening, I moved apartments because I just couldn't look at the same four walls anymore. And I also changed the book I was writing. So I was supposed to be writing a book that basically involved all the stuff we are not allowed to do anymore. So now I'm writing a book that is potentially set in lockdown. So I really can't complain. I did get to read all the books and watch all the shows and I got a new idea. So unfortunately, lockdown was great for me in many ways.
Yeah, you've been somewhat inspired. I mean, do the characters in the book, I mean, do they leave the house? I'm just curious as to what you're going to do with that one.
It's in process. But my 2 kilometres was Dublin city centre. So even when we were in the most extreme lockdown, you know, I was able to walk around the city and it was so eerie. And just, you know, very, especially at the beginning, it really felt like being in some sort of post-apocalyptic zombie movie.
It was 28 days later. There was a real hint of that, wasn't there?
I remember one morning, like I walked out and it was a beautiful sunny day because, of course, we had great weather for most of it. And the first thing I saw was this huge poster on kind of the boarding of a construction site. And it said, you can help stop the spread of COVID-19. Like, I have seen posters like that, but they're props in the backgrounds of so many like zombie movies, you know, virus movies. It really sort of, it like gave me a bit of a shock.
But hang on a second, right? It's one thing that this has taught us is all of those books about zombie apocalypse and all the nightmare scenarios, the breakdown of society. I mean, it must be devastating for authors worldwide. The breakdown of society didn't happen. In fact, if anything, it brought out the best in people, which is terrible if you're writing the book.
And I saw a great cartoon on The New Yorker a few days ago that said, you know, all these post-apocalyptic movies, they never told us how much like sitting around doing nothing is involved in the, you know, downfall of society. Like, I think that I was proud of us in many ways because we all adapted so quick. And even now when you're out shopping and, you know, it's just normal that everyone's wearing a mask, and you know, in many ways I think we proved that we can probably get through a lot more than we think we can.
But if you went back to this time last year, Catherine, and says,
lads,
it's going to be like there'll be no one on the streets, they'll all be wearing masks and everyone will be staying at home, you'd go, mother of God, what's going on?
And this is why I changed the book I was writing, because a lot of my colleagues, I think, are skipping ahead into 2021, so they're not setting their book in, you know, 2020. But I think that is such a risk, because how could you possibly have predicted the situation we're in now 12 months ago? So.
Yeah, and all of a sudden it'll date badly. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Could live through what
we've
lived through.
Even now, when you're watching TV shows and people are shaking hands and stuff, you're like, what are they at? You know,
I'm appalled by large groups of people.
Yeah.
It's just you know, the idea of sitting around a table like watching any kind of movie. God, they need to be further away from each other now. That's not good. You set this book in 2001 in County Cork,
mm-hmm.
And it's all about Eve. Tell us who Eve is.
Okay, so the easiest way to describe this book is that it's half a true crime memoir that I made up and half the killer's reaction to it as he reads. And the true crime memoir is written by Eve Black, who was the lone survivor of a serial killer called the Nothing Man, his worst and final attack. So she was a child at the time. Now as an adult, she's become obsessed with finding him and identifying him. And the first step in that process is publishing this book. And in the beginning of my book, you meet Jim, who is a security guard in like a sleepy suburban shopping centre, and he sees her book and gets a shock because, of course, it's about him. And he takes a copy down from the shelf and starts reading it. He turns the page and you turn the page at the same time. So both you and him are reading the book about him at the same time. It's sort of Inception.
It's a bit hard to
explain first thing in the morning, but you know.
And I presume you see his experience then come out in a mix of pride, because you know he's crazy, and horror then as he might be exposed and identified.
Well, that was what I found totally fascinating about this concept. I got the idea when I was reading I'll Be Gone in the Dark by Michelle McNamara, which was about her obsessive search for the Golden State Killer. A couple of months after the book was published, he was finally caught. So there was that lag there of about 8 weeks where he must have known about the book because it was hugely publicized, and also he was free to read it. And we know from when he was active that he was obsessed with his own press. So I think he did read the book. And then, of course, I started wondering, what did he think of it? I wondered, was he ashamed of his past self? Was he afraid he was going to get caught? Or was he, like, in a sick way, you know, the way we would look through a photo album of happy times, was he kind of reliving past glories? And I just couldn't stop thinking about it. And of course, real life couldn't answer the question for me. So I decided I would answer it myself with fiction.
Yeah. And again, through this, you follow the investigation. You follow the force that is Eve as she is driven to find who was responsible for the man who killed her family. And like the Golden State Killer, I mean, they did track him down through good old fashioned police work at the end of the day, and a little bit of luck here and there and some DNA on the other side. So, and he would have been watching all of that as you go along. Real world, thankfully, we don't have many. We don't have many shadow men, but nothing men, I beg your pardon. But like, there's always a risk that there could be one out there. Does that help you as a writer?
I really believe that the reason we don't have serial killers, I mean, Ireland is kind of an exception because geography makes it very hard to be a serial killer, luckily, in this country, because, you know, it's quite a small place. But I think detection has evolved to the point where they don't get to the serial bit. And I think Graham Dwyer is such a fantastic example of that. Like, the Garda investigation into identifying that man was incredible. And, you know, there was things in his past that seemed to point to him doing something like this again. But the Garda got him before he could, thankfully, do it a second time.
Do you talk to police a lot when you're doing these things? Have you ever spoken to a policeman who's read your book and asked him, well, what did you think of that, or how I portrayed that cop?
I have a very lovely female guard called Casey. That's not her real name because she's a serving member, so she's not supposed to be talking to me. But she consults on the books. So I write the book and I give it to her, and then she will sort of say, this could happen or that would never happen.
You get a red line going, they'd never say that.
Yeah, and then she gives me fantastic little detail and anecdotes that then go into the book. But like, I'm quite lazy when it comes to research, so I try and limit the amount of Gardaí I have in my book because I don't really want to have to get into all that procedure. I find like civilians so much more interesting, and I think actually civilians have a lot of things they can do a lot quicker than the Gardaí, because you know, we're not concerned with what's allowed and what's not. Like, we can just, you know, if we can get into someone's email account or something like that, we can just do it. We're not concerned that it won't hold up in court. So I find, you know, following an ordinary person a lot more interesting as a writer than following a Garda. But there is a Garda in this, a very nice one.
Yes, sure, as they all are. Morning, Gardaí. Is your favourite book really Jurassic Park?
It absolutely is, and I will make no apologies for it, right? And it's also my favourite movie. And if anyone thinks, oh, I'm not going to read Jurassic Park because it's all about dinosaurs, you are missing out. Dinosaurs are but a component of the amazing piece of literature that is Jurassic Park by Michael Crichton.
Michael Crichton is a fantastic writer. Did you always feel disappointed, though, as they kept making movies that weren't as good as the original book or indeed the original film?
I could write a thesis on what's wrong with all five Jurassic Park movies. Like, obviously, Jurassic Park is perfect, the original, and controversially, then I think Jurassic World was great because all I ever wanted to see was the park open. But I think the mistake they keep making is in the original, there was literally 15 minutes of dinosaurs. Like, the rest of it was just being afraid they were going to arrive.
And I think there's
way too many dinosaurs going on in those movies.
I mean, again, you talk about realism creeping into the book. I just keep going, they'd never get insurance for opening the park a second time.
Oh,
it's just,
God,
it's
you know what?
It never would
happen.
I've
been obsessed with that book for 20 odd years. I've never thought about that. How do they get insurance?
They couldn't get insurance. They never would. It's just they couldn't get it open.
I think that's Catherine why Reinhardt. It was on an island off the coast of Costa Rica. You know,
yes.
With stuff.
Yeah. They get away with murder, literally, out there. The book is called The Nothing Man. It's available now and priced at around €13. Catherine Reinhardt, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for joining
us
on News
Talk.
Thank you
so much. Thank you.